What's Stigmata? By Wally K. Daly, with Peter Jeffrey, Norma Ronald, Murray Watson, and George A. Cooper. What's Stigmata?
I feel at this stage in our retreat, it may serve us well once more to look to our motives. We search for peace and tranquility in the midst of a scurrying reality. We have each left, for this short time, the day-to-day world behind us. Our week of silent contemplation, which allows us to look deep into our hearts, and for those of us who believe, into our souls, was marred somewhat by Mr. Thompson's manifestations. But now that he has left our little group, I sincerely hope that once more we can return to our former tranquil, silent regime. This evening's lesson and psalm will be read in the upstairs chapel after tea, and I'm sure that even though this is a non-denominational retreat and we have some non-believers still among us, that we may all find some solace in the words of...
Yahoo!
Never mind, dear. Soon be over. Oh. At these sort of prices, you can expect to suffer a little, can't you?
These sort of prices, you'd think we'd suffered enough.
Oh, you've got a fine sense of humor, all right, Mrs. Thompson.
Oh!
There we are, dear. You're done.
Oh.
Down you get. Off you go for tea.
Oh.
Are you on the solids yet?
Oh, no. Still on the famous Brookfield's orange juice. Marcia, are you finished?
Yes.
Something amazing turned up in today's papers. Come on.
Yes, I'm just coming. Bye. Thanks for the massage.
Bye, Mrs. Thompson. It's a pleasure.
Oh, well, what's all the excitement? Someone found an apple in the garden.
Hopeful to the last. No, just you wait, Marcia. The news touches you deeply. Your husband has hit the headlines.
Well, what on earth are you talking about? George is off having £5 worth of retreat in some dreary vicarage up in the Midlands, trying to find out how the believers behave. I mean, what on earth could be newsworthy about that?
Just you wait and see.
Oh, isn't it marvelous, Marcia?
Yes,
I can't believe it. I wish you were off with
that. What's going on?
Read it for yourself. Isn't it marvelous?
George Thompson, the well-known broadcaster, famed for his atheist point of view, today made history by becoming the first non-believer to...
Oh, no. How could he do this to me? How could he do this?
I think it's truly wonderful.
And that was, of course, old Blue Eyes himself. Well, I'm sorry to say we haven't so far managed to arrange the hoped-for interview with George Thompson, but our reporter, who's outside Mr. Thompson's home, hopefully waiting for him to make an appearance, brings us this report.
Well, here I am among a waiting crowd of perhaps 200 people...
Is there no privacy left in the world?
Oh, push off. I don't want to know.
Go away, please. Let me through. Please, I don't want to talk to anybody. George, are you here?
Yeah, in the lounge. Marcia. Hello, dear. I thought you went back till Monday. Want a drink? How is the health, huh?
Oh, George. How could you do this to me?
I didn't do anything to you. If anyone's beating, it should be me. Marcia, it's no fun being like this, I assure you. Now, do you want a drink or don't you?
Have we any orange juice in?
No.
Good, I'll have a gin and tonic. How on earth did it happen, George?
Well, if I knew that, I wouldn't be standing here wearing mittens to hide my bandages, would I? I'd be busy reversing the process. I've no idea how it happened or why. And why me? A professional non-believer. It's a catastrophe.
You do realize, I suppose, that your whole future is now in jeopardy because of this foolishness.
Well, of course I do.
And our laundry bills are going to be astronomical.
I know. Oh, ignore it. They'll go away. They've been at it all the morning.
Might be a friend.
As from this moment, we have no friends, only potential supplicants.
Oh, don't be silly, George. I'll go and see who it is.
No, she's not the door. Move the curtains. You can see the door from the window. But smile while you're doing it. There are photographers out there as well.
I'm certainly not going to appear white-faced in every newspaper in the country. I'll just go up and put some fresh makeup on.
Oh, get it over with, Marcia, will you? We've got a lot to talk about.
It's your mother and father.
Oh, no. As if we haven't got enough problems. She probably wants me to sort her lumbago out. We'll pretend we're not in.
They're absolutely surrounded by hundreds of reporters. I think your mother's giving her autograph out to some of them.
Selling it, dear. Selling it.
And your father looks absolutely bemused.
Not difficult.
We'd better get the door open. They're going to drown in the crowd.
We thank the Lord for small blessings.
Oh, I'll get it. They'll probably drag you off and shred you for souvenirs.
Marvellous.
I'm going to get that drink.
What's going on? What's all the crowd for?
Hello, Mum. Hello, Dad. What a pleasant surprise.
Oh, George, I'm so excited. Oh, I knew you'd come to your senses finally.
What did you say, son?
I said hello, Dad.
Pardon?
Hello. Now, listen, Mother, don't go talking about coming to my senses. What happened has nothing to do with me, and it doesn't change my attitude at all.
Oh, you can't fool me. You always did find it hard to admit you were wrong, but even you must be convinced now.
Has anyone offered me a drink yet?
I am not convinced in the least. Religion is balderdash, and so it shall remain until it is proved otherwise.
A whiskey and soda for me. Shall we sit down?
What more proof can you ask? I'm only pleased that you'll now have to stop making those silly appearances on television arguing with nice vicars.
I will not stop arguing with nice vicars.
Constantly embarrassing me. I've been almost too ashamed to show my face at the church socials for years.
I won't have ice if it causes problems.
Anybody else want a drink while I'm here?
Whiskey and soda for Dad. Now, there's no reason for shame. It's my views I'm expressing, not yours, and I believe in
them. But it reflects, George. It reflects...
Has anybody offered me a drink yet?
It's just coming, Dad.
Pardon?
It's just coming.
A whiskey and soda for me, please.
I think I must have brought you up badly. The Reverend Darnell gives me very funny looks sometimes.
The Reverend Darnell gives everyone funny looks. He's got a squint.
It's no time to be offensive, George. I'm being serious.
Here we are, Pops. Whiskey and soda.
Now you've received this sign from heaven. You really must mend your ways.
Drink, Mum?
Oh, just a little brandy for my heart, Marcia. After all, this isn't a thing that happens every day, George. You do realize you could end up a saint.
It's no good trying to frighten me, Mother. I am an atheist. So I shall remain until I receive conclusive proof to the contrary.
There are a lot of people outside.
Oh, you're insufferable. You were pig-headed as a baby, and you haven't changed since.
Is it a demonstration of some sort?
Your grandmother warned me when you were only a week old. He's got shifty eyes, she said. He'll be a problem to you and Tom when he's older, and she was right.
Have you been rude to a bishop or something, George?
Mother, this is no time to be offensive. I've got a slight problem which I will sort out in my own good time. No, I haven't, Dad. Not even to a vicar.
Oh, to a vicar. Oh, well, that's not so bad then, is it? They all speak too quietly in any case. They deserve telling off.
Here we are, Mum. Brandy, for your heart.
Can't you talk some sense into him, Marcia? Make him see that he's been wrong all these years.
Well, I'd like to make him see it was wrong to do it this week. Ruined my stay at Brookfield's just as I was doing so well.
Oh, were you at Brookfield's? Oh, I lost nearly a stone when I were there. Marvellous place.
I didn't do anything. Anyway, you didn't have to come back, Marcia, did you? You could have stayed on for the last few days.
How could I stay there with everyone crawling around trying to get to meet you? It's all right when women think one's husband is reasonable, George, but adoration is ridiculous. And then the reporters got to hear about me being there and life just wasn't worth living. I found one of them in the shower, water dripping down his pencil. It's infuriating. I'd lost 5 pounds in 4 days, and I was just due for my first lettuce and tomato tea.
Amazing, isn't it? I pay £90 so you can lose 5 pounds and eat lettuce, and I go into a one-week retreat costing 5 pounds and come back 90 hours later as the first atheist saint. And neither of us gets a refund.
They did actually offer me what was left of the bottle of orange to bring back with me, but I told them to keep it for one of their charity cases.
And my mother thinks I should mend my ways, and my father has not got the vaguest idea of what's going on.
Did you say something?
I said you haven't got the vaguest idea of what's going on.
Oh, I'm all right for the moment, thank you. I've still got some left. You can top me up in a minute.
Right, that settles it. George shall perform his party trick. Off with the mittens. And don't you two say yeah when you see my bandages. There we are. Off.
Mm. I say, son, do you know you've cut yourself? Both your hands are all bloodstained.
Don't worry, Dad. Everything will be crystal clear in a minute.
Oh, no, don't put your hands over my ears. Those bandages are disgusting.
There we are. Just like that. Easy.
Hello, Dad. Hello.
Oh, good God. I can hear. Oh, how horrible. George, what have you done to me?
I've just performed a miracle, Dad.
Well, unperform it. This is a grotesque intrusion on my personal freedom. How dare you do such a thing?
Be grateful, Tom. Your child is going to be a saint.
I am not going to be a saint.
And after all these years, you are going to be able to hear every word I say again.
Exactly. As I said, a grotesque intrusion on my personal liberty. How could you do such a thing to me, George? Your own father. Do you... I mean, you know what your mother's like. You make me deaf again this instant.
Oh, I can't, Dad. Sorry. I never thought of that. I think it's non-reversible.
I shall cut you off without a penny. What a thing to do to your own father.
Don't be so silly, dear. George has been supporting us for years. You can't cut him off. You haven't got anything to cut him off from.
It's a symbolic gesture. Men understand that sort of thing.
Hadn't you better get those filthy bandages off? Your hands will turn septic.
No, they won't. There's no cut to turn septic, and there's no good changing them. They just get soggy again.
What on earth has he done to himself, Marcia?
Haven't you been reading the papers, Paul?
Oh, he never touches them, Marcia. Lives in a world of his own. Amazing.
Mary, you are going to have to get used to the fact that I can now speak for myself and stop talking as though I wasn't there. The sooner you get started, the better I'll like
it. Oh, stop getting testy, Tom. You can't expect me to break the habit of years in as many seconds, now can you? It's not going to be much fun for me either, you know, having to listen to you all the time. I've got used to talking to you as if you weren't really there and expecting no reply. Now I shall have to start thinking of what I'm talking about, which won't be easy at my time of life.
Right. I will allow you a few days' grace. Marcia, what has he done to himself?
I can talk for myself as well, thank you.
I am never talking to you again. What's he done, Marcia?
He's been stigmatized.
Stigmatized?
You know, the marks of the nails on his hands, constantly bleeding.
Constantly bleeding what?
Not forgetting the feet and the side.
The feet...
It's all right, Dad. I'm talking to Mother, not to you.
Oh, isn't it wonderful, Tom, that a child of ours should become a saint?
Please stop saying that, Mother. I am not a saint. Anyway, what's so marvellous about constantly soggy socks and shirts? No fun at all, I assure you. Not to mention having to wear mittens all through summer.
When did all this happen, Marcia?
At the beginning of the week sometime, while George was off on his retreat.
Retreat?
Oh, you know, dear. When one wants to escape from the noise and bustle of daily life, you can pop off to some nice retreat house or vicarage and have a week of prayer and silence.
I'll bear that in mind. But why him? I thought he was supposed to be the world's number one atheist. Makes a profession of it, doesn't he? Always on telly arguing with someone.
Well, I wonder that myself. I mean, I just wanted to find out how the other half live. Have a bit of a scoff. Get material for the book. And look what happened. That'll teach me to keep my nose out of other people's religious pastimes.
When did it start, George?
Tuesday afternoon. Third day there. We just had lunch. Super school meal stodge. Dumplings and carrots and treacle pudding. Ooh, delicious. And we went upstairs to chapel for the afternoon service. Simple and soporific.
And sometimes, of course, it feels as though it would be impossible to rise above these pressures. God bless you. But I feel that this week of silence will instill in each of us a necessary awareness of the possibility of internal peace. Each of us, I feel sure, will carry away from this humble house of retreat the seeds of...
Oh!
Mr. Thompson, you spoke.
Well, actually, I said ow. Sorry. I said ow. My left hand is bleeding. I must have caught it somewhere. I didn't mean to speak. Sorry. But there was rather a sharp pain.
Sorry about that.
Yes, well, perhaps you'd like to go down and let Matron have a look at it. Yes. She'll put a dressing on it for you.
Yes, I'll do that. Would you excuse me? Sorry, thank you. So sorry. Thank you very much. Sorry.
Now, well, well. Oh, yes. But I feel that this week of silence will instill in each of us.
And that's how it all began. Not a scratch to be seen. Dabbed the blood away, and seconds later, there it was again. And that evening, the second hand started, and already I'd accidentally cured the matron's migraine, the maid's acne, and an old colonel's gout. They asked me to carve the chicken we were having for dinner that evening, and I was terrified to touch it in case it jumped up from the table and went off clucking to the garden. Horrific.
Fantastic.
And did it?
Did what?
The chicken. Did it jump up from the table?
I already said I didn't dare touch it in case it did.
Sorry, I've not quite got the knack of this listening business yet.
Well, why don't you go back to not talking to me again, Dad?
No, I'm beginning to quite enjoy myself. It's going to be fun having a saint for a son.
Now, don't you start. It's bad enough having her doing it without you. Mother, would you please stop making the sign of the cross every time I look at you? I'm starting to feel like the bride of Dracula.
It's just a sign of respect, son.
Well, don't respect me. I'm your son. I'm not a saint. I've not taken the cloth. I'm just an accidental cripple.
How about the other bits? The side and the feet? The paper said you had all five marks.
Yeah, well, they were right, of course, but they were only doing some astute guessing. Nobody's actually seen them, apart from me.
Give us a look.
I beg your pardon?
Give us a look. After all, we are family. We're as involved in this as you are.
I've never heard anything so unbelievable in all my life. There's my dear old dad, who half an hour ago couldn't hear a dicky bird, blandly asking to see the bleeding body of his only son, as if it was an exhibit in some peep show at the funfair.
Sorry, I was just a thought.
You should just be ashamed of yourself, Tom. George will show us in his own good time.
I will not show either of you in my own good time, or otherwise. My wounds are private. And so they shall remain.
Well, if he doesn't wish us to witness his wounds, well, that's his own business. But I still think he's being a bit churlish. Come along, Tom. Finish up your drink. There's obviously nothing we can do to help here.
Oh, right. Well, cheers. I hope everything turns out all right.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Of the police to put a guard on the place, wasn't it?
It would have been nicer still if they'd chased everybody off home like sensible people. I'm starting to feel like a one-man lured.
Well, it was your own fault for curing those two people when we sent your mum and dad to the door.
It wasn't my fault. I didn't even know there'd be anything wrong with them till I saw the late-night news.
You should have guessed by the way they were waving their crutches to attract your attention.
I just thought they were two reporters who got hurt in the crush and shook their hands to commiserate. I never actually thought that ill people would turn up here.
Well, you've done it now. The place is fast turning into a national shrine. You know there's a man halfway up the garden path lying on a mattress.
I know. I saw his friends come and drop him off about 8 o'clock. And then they went off to the pub with all the reporters. I'd like to have gone off with them for a lemonade myself, but...
The garden's ruined. I only hope your magic stretches to petunias. It's going to take months to sort it out. Look, why don't you just pop out and cure everybody? We're going to get no sleep if this singing goes on all night.
Oh, what's the point if I go out now and sort them all out? There's just going to be twice as many there tomorrow night, isn't there? I mean, better for the word to spread that I'm not very good at it, rather than I'm marvellous at it, then they might thin out a bit, mightn't they?
What I don't understand is how the papers got onto it in the first place. I mean, you surely weren't silly enough to tell them yourself.
Oh, not on your life. No, it was either someone on the retreat or someone in the village where the retreat was held.
But how did they know?
Well, it didn't need very sharp eyes to see that something strange was going on up at Vicarage.
What do you mean?
Well, a fairly average group of retreatants changed in 2 days from being slightly geriatric into rumbustious Boy Scouts and Girl Guides, dropping at least 20 years each along the way, along with warts, sticks and assorted sore throats. Didn't you know? There was an old lady of about 70, failed nun or something, I'd imagine, who was about the only one who hadn't sat next to me or shook hands or pulled up my soggy socks or any of the other ploys used by the others to get a sly miracle. Mainly because I was too quick for her, actually. And, well, anyway, she fell down the chapel steps when I was at the bottom, and I heard the crack as her leg broke. I mean, fantastic sound. Really, crack. And I put out my hand and picked her up. And she skipped off down the corridor, whistling.
Is that why you left before the week was up?
No, actually, the people who organised it asked me to go.
Well, Why?
Well, it was becoming farcical. It had got to the point where they were having stand-up fights over who should sit next to me at meals or in chapel. And they were very healthy by then. It got quite brutal.
You're pulling my leg.
No, I'm not, honestly. I mean, I was only pleased they'd all got rid of their sticks by then, or it could have been really nasty. Mind you, the journey through London was a nightmare. I almost wished I was back on the retreat. I left a trail of mended bodies behind me. The guard on the train, the porter at the station, the ticket collector, taxi driver. Grotesque. You know that blind paper seller at the corner of the station?
Yes.
Well, he isn't now.
What are we going to do, George?
Oh, we'll think of something. For what it's worth, I'll go along and see Dr. Eaton tomorrow, see if he can suggest anything. Harry's always full of bright ideas.
You'll never get through the crowd.
Well, I'll set off early while they're still a bit dopey. Tell you what, I'll borrow one of your dresses and your wig and go out pretending to be the housekeeper.
We haven't got a housekeeper.
Well, they don't know that, do they?
Oh, come on. Let's get settled down. I'm shattered.
You're going to switch off your light as well, darling?
I switched it off. I thought it was... George!
What is it?
Can't you see?
See what?
Look in the mirror! Quick!
Oh, no. This is the last straw. How on earth am I going to hide a halo?
Dr. Eaton will see you now.
Take a seat, please. I'll be with you in a minute.
Harry, it's me, your old friend George, not one of your National Health Service jobs. But look up and give me your full attention. I've got a problem.
George, how nice to... Yes, you certainly have got a problem. If you don't mind my saying to you, George, your grey topper looks ridiculous with that colour dress.
The colour of my dress is not the problem, Harry.
Just the dress itself?
Not the dress either. Listen, Harry, I accidentally cure people.
Pretty much the same way I work.
Oh, be serious, Harry. I need your help.
Yes, you certainly do. Just look at yourself. That dress is much too small for you.
Will you please stop harping on about the dress? Ignore it. It's no part of the problem.
How can I ignore it? You walk in here wearing a grey topper, woolly winter mittens, Marcia's best auburn wig and a long green dress with a couple of apples stuck up the front.
Oranges.
And you say there's no part of the problem? How can I ignore it? It's symptomatic.
But don't you see? It's my disguise.
You could have fooled me, George.
Harry, this conversation is deteriorating rapidly into a very bad double act. Will you please listen for a minute? I really need your advice.
My advice is take a holiday. You're obviously working too hard.
Listen, I haven't finished.
I'll give you some tablets to help you sleep and some to wake you up. And if you're no better in a fortnight, come back and we'll go out and get you a dress that fits you.
I haven't finished. Harry, haven't you seen a paper in the last couple of days?
No.
Not one?
No, I never touched them. Haven't seen one for years. I have enough misery walking through that door every day to last the average man two lifetimes without going out and buying more.
Television?
Violence, hospitals and Dr. Findlay never go near it.
Radio?
Good Lord, is that still going?
Oh, I need help, and I pick on the one new star doctor in London. Harry, the media is full of me.
I'm not surprised if you go around
now wearing... Let's not get back to that again. I will now give you the first lesson in the miracle that is me. I take my topper in my hands, give a quick lift, and voila. What do you see?
Hair.
No. Now look closely. A little round ring.
Alopecia. Can't see it.
No, my halo, my halo. A little silver ring there, just above my head.
George, there's nothing there. I'm sorry, old son, but you really have been working too hard, and I think the best...
But it was there. It really was. Let me have a look in the mirror. Well, it's gone. Is it in the hat? I might have knocked it off. No, you can't knock halos off. No, believe me, Harry. Last night it shone out like a beacon. And this morning, as I dressed in the gloom... But of course the room's too bright. The blinds, Harry.
Sit down, George.
No, just draw the blinds, Harry, and you'll see what I'm talking
George,
about.
George, sit down. I draw the blinds, you wearing that dress. My receptionist walks in. I'm finished.
All right. I'll show you my wounds, then.
George, put your dress down. This is ridiculous. What have you got round your middle?
Yeah, there, that made you stop and think, didn't it? It's to hide my bleeding, Harry.
To hide your bleeding what, George?
Ah, too late for that one. My father beat you to it by 16 hours. Shoes off.
George, those shoes are making a terrible mess of your feet.
Mittens off. So, What do you see?
5 rather nasty bandages and a pair of Y-front underpants.
Right. Now, off with the bandages around the middle. Hold that, please.
Not so fast, George. You'll make yourself dizzy.
Round and round and round and round. Off the bandage comes. Dab, dab, dab. No mark. Left foot. Round and round and round and round. Off the bandage comes. Dab, dab, dab. No mark. Right foot. Round and round and round and round. Off the bandage comes. Dab, dab, dab. No mark.
George, would you kindly...
Left hand. Round and round and round and round. Off the bandage comes. Dab, dab, dab. No mark. Right hand. Round, 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 round. Off the bandage comes. Dab, dab, dab. No mark. Now, they're all off, and not a mark to be seen. Right? Proving...
That you're a bit kinky for soiled bandages?
No such thing. I sit here. Hands on the desk. Palms up. Watch. Nothing on my sleeve. No trickery. Just watch.
Good Lord. Blood.
Yeah, and my side as well. Look.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And the feet are the same?
Exactly the same.
Well, I wonder if you'd lift them off the carpet, George. It's just been cleaned.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right. Well, it's amazing, George. I will give you that. Suppuration without abrasion. I've never seen the like. I think you should really make a point of seeing somebody about this, George.
Well, that's what I'm doing. I'm seeing you.
Oh, no, 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 no. This is way outside my territory. You need a psychiatrist.
Why?
Oh, don't you see? It's in your mind.
But you can see it as well.
Oh, yes, it's real, all right. But it's your mind that's doing it. Can't you see that? Amazing machine, George, the mind. Amazing.
Harry, don't you recognize stigmata when you see it?
What's stigmata?
Stigmata, the marks of the cross, traversing a void of nearly 2,000 years to be occasionally manifested on the bodies of the worthiest of believers. The only problem being that it's accidentally hit me, the greatest non-believer of all time. Something bigger than the mind is involved here, Harry, and I don't like it. I enjoy being an atheist, and I don't want my views messed about with. So, Harry, get rid of it.
The psychiatrist will probably decide that deep down inside you really believe, and this bleeding is a backlash from your unconscious mind against your unyielding consciousness. They talk like that, you know.
All right, all right. I can see the mind could, in certain circumstances, cause something like this woundless bleeding to occur. But what about the halo? That doesn't even touch the body. How can my mind make that effect?
You forget, George, I haven't seen the halo. You knocked it off when you took your topper off, remember?
You can't knock halos off. It's just too bright in here, that's all. All right, all right. Forget the halo. What about the miracles? Explain that away if you can.
Miracles?
Yes, miracles. I am a living, breathing, walking Lourdes. The lame, the halt, and the blind touch my bleeding bits and they're better. Do you understand me, Harry? Boils to broken legs, to bad backs touch me and they've gone. Warts a speciality. People are camping out at the bottom of my garden, singing hymns, waiting for me to appear. They're scavenging my dustbins for used bandages. The police have set up a guard. My image is being ruined. Harry, I need your help.
You do realize, of course, that you can get into trouble practicing without a license?
I'm not practicing. I have no need to practice. It just happens. Oh, help me, Harry. I mean it.
Well, to be honest, there's not a lot I can do.
Oh.
I mean, I'll take a couple of samples, if you like, and have them analyzed to see if that throws any light. But I doubt if it will. And I honestly don't think a psychiatrist could help. I mean, you've got to be a bit daft to be a psychiatrist. And if every time you touched one, you cured him, the country would be out of them in no time. No, I honestly think the best thing you can do, as this seems a churchy sort of problem, is to go along and have a chat with your vicar.
I haven't got a vicar, Harry. There's not that many atheists that do.
Yes, that's a problem. Never thought of that. Well, you're in television, aren't you? Have a word with the one who does the epilogue.
A different one every week. Never get to know them. They're in and out like a whippet.
I got it. The Catholics. Go off and confess.
But I've nothing to confess.
Oh, that's not important. They have cubicles. It's dark and private. It'll give you a chance to talk without being seen, and that's a bonus. They won't be able to see you wearing a dress.
Don't let's go back to that again.
You'll do it.
Well, I'll think about it. Come on, let's get the samples over with, and I'll get my dressings back on.
Right. Rest your feet on the desk. Yeah. I'll get it from them. Stop you making that terrible mess on the carpet.
10 minutes of the engaged signal every time. What's she playing at? I told her to put the phone back on at one.
I'm sorry, my young man, but I'm making a rather important call, and I'm having a problem getting connected.
Wearing a frock as tight as that, I'm surprised you have any problem at all getting connected.
Got it. Come on, come on, come on.
Hello, I'm sorry, but Mr. Thompson is not getting any interviews today, is not open to any offers, cannot open your fate, and is unable to come to the telephone because of a future engagement.
Marcia.
Sorry, bye.
No, Marcia, hang on. It's me, George.
George?
Yes.
Where have you been? I put the phone back on at 1 o'clock, like you said. It hasn't stopped ringing.
No, where I've been. I've been to see Dr. Eaton. Anyway, I told her not to answer the phone to anyone but me.
Yes, but how do I know whether it's you or not before I pick the telephone up and answer it?
Never thought of that. Sorry, darling, I'm a bit overwrought. Who's been ringing?
Everybody. Mm. It looks as though every newspaper in the country's after you for an interview. The Catholic Herald wants your life story, and the Daily Worker wants you to take out a subscription. Oh, yes, and Charles rang from the BBC. He wants to talk about next week's broadcast.
What did he say about it?
He didn't say, just that it's urgent. Mm. After that, your mother rang and said, will you please make your father deaf again?
Why?
Something about him arguing all the time.
Well, if she rings again... No, on second thoughts, just leave the phone off the hook when I ring off and she won't be able to get through.
Doesn't make any difference. She said she's coming round in any case. Not that she'll get through. There's hundreds outside. It's fantastic.
Oh, dear.
What did Harry say, George?
Well, there's nothing he can do.
Oh.
He told me to go to confession.
Why? What have you done?
Nothing. He just thought it might be nice to have a chat in the dark.
Mind a chat in the dark myself. When are you coming home?
Well, I'll just go off to confession and then I'll be back.
You can't go to confession in the middle of the day.
Why not?
Because they don't keep shop hours, George. Evenings usually and Saturday mornings. Besides, you've got to come back now, George. The Secret Service men are coming back at 2 o'clock.
What Secret Service men?
Oh, I forgot to tell you. Just after you left this morning, before it got really light, 2 men arrived wearing charcoal grey suits and black ties. I thought they'd come for a cure because they both had bulges underneath the handkerchief pocket in their coats. I thought they had funny chests or something. Anyway, they showed me their identification, and they were from a department called the RM section of the Secret Service.
What's RM stand for?
Something about a religious manifestation. But I'm only guessing. I wasn't really listening.
Well, you should have paid attention, Marcia. It might have been important.
But darling, it was important, but very early in the morning, and I wasn't exactly at my best after a night of close harmony hymn singing.
Sorry. Go on. What did they have to say?
Well, turns out you might constitute a threat of some sort to national security because a foreign power might try to grab you for their own evil ends, if you know what I mean.
No, I don't know what you mean.
Well, neither do I, but it was very early in the morning and I was being agreeable. Anyway, what it boils down to is this, that they're now watching the place along with the police, and when you arrive back, they want to have a little chat.
They're going to try and turn me into a secret weapon, aren't they? I can feel it in my bones. I'm going to be a new secret weapon. Well, I won't do it, you hear me? I won't do it.
Well, tell them, darling, not me. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you're wrong. Apart from the bumps under their coats, they seem so very nice. How long are you going to be? Are you very far away?
No, I'm not far away. In fact, if I strain, I can just hear the hymns they're singing at the moment. I'll see you in a few minutes, okay?
Okay.
Right, bye, darling.
Bye, see you in a few minutes.
There must be a couple of thousand people here.
I'll never get through.
Yeah. Watch for your pushing, lady.
Sorry, yes, madam, one in the same boat, you know. Everyone wants to see him. Oh. So wait your turn.
Yes, sorry, madam. Didn't mean to stand on you. I didn't see you lying down there. Oh, God, if they find out who I am, I've had it. Harry Shredders. I always wondered how they got those relics of saints, heads and bones and things, and now I think I know, and I don't like it. Make way! Make way! I must get through! It's a matter of life and death! My life and my death. Still, nearly there. I think I saw a glimpse of the gate through the crutches. One last push! Oh, make it! Through the gate and I'm home.
Shut that gate!
But officer, I live here.
Madam, 25% of the people in this crowd live here. I know because they have individually fought their way up to that little wicket gate where you're standing now and told me so. Now, what I suggest is that you close that gate and either go back and sing with the rest, or better still, pop off home for a nice cup of tea.
Officer, can I talk to you somewhere slightly more private? It's very important.
Also point out that it is an offence to offer an officer of the law an opportunity of money to gain in repayment for some dereliction of duty on his part, i.e. bribery. So be very careful. Do not attempt to bribe me.
I have no intention at all of attempting to bribe you.
Just thought I'd get the warning in first. I wouldn't like to see a nice lady like you get into trouble.
If you would just slip me through this gate, I would very quickly show you that I'm not really a nice lady at all.
Madam, that could also be construed in some circles to be a form of bribery, and so I must again severely warn you.
I am not a she. I am a he.
Look, everybody in this crowd's got problems. We can't make exceptions, pass judgments on who should get cured first. Just let this one through and not that one through. It's not part of our job. We just guard the gate and let no one through. Anyway, what you say is true. You do realise you can get into serious trouble walking around like that, don't you? That dress is much too tight for you in any case.
But you haven't understood me. I'm not just any old he. I'm a particularly important he. I am him, the he that this lot think is in there. But he isn't. He's here. He's me.
You're not making very good sense. Now, slowly, tell me, what are you talking about?
Let me whisper in your ear.
What? Watch it, Sonny. Don't test my patience too far.
Let me whisper.
What? You are?
Yes.
Unbelievable. Some people have the strangest sense of humor.
George! Over here!
Who are
George, it's me. Here.
Good morning, Mother.
George, I thought I was ever going to make it. Isn't this wonderful, George?
Not too loud, Mother. Do you want to give me corn dress?
George Trotterman, what are you doing wearing that ridiculous green dress? Stop taking up this minute. This is no way for a saint to behave. You're making a mockery of the whole business. Sticking apples up your front like that. Disgraceful.
Oranges. Mother, it's a long story. I'll tell you when we get inside, if we ever get inside.
What are you talking about? Open the gate and let's get in.
I can't.
Why not?
Him. He's guarding me. The only problem being that I'm on the wrong side of the fence. I can't convince him I'm me.
Easy about that, my good man. Stop giggling and listen to me.
Ah, not your brolly, Mother.
Oh, madam, it's an offence to poke a bobby in the belly with a brolly.
This young man tells me you don't believe him. Well, I can confirm that he is telling the truth. He is my son.
You're the father or the mother?
Never been so insulted in my life. I shall report you to the commissioner.
Commissioner?
I don't care which it is. I shall report you just the same. As the mother of a saint, I demand the respect that is due.
Mother, I am not a saint.
And furthermore, I suggest you show my son proper respect as well before you are struck down by a bolt of lightning or something else.
I have orders to let no one through this gate and no one pass through
it. George is insufferable. Strike him down with a bolt of lightning.
I don't do bolts of lightning, Mother. You've got me mixed up with four of them.
All right, then. Perform a miracle on him.
Nor do I perform miracles to order. All the miracles that have so far happened, apart from Dad's deafness, have been purely accidental. I refuse to use my newfound infirmity as a key to my own front door.
Do you want to be allowed in?
Well, yes.
Well, you'll never convince him otherwise.
All right, you've convinced me. Right, what's wrong with you, officer?
Nothing.
What do you mean, nothing? Everybody's got to have something wrong with them.
I never had a day's illness in my life.
Well, what about your teeth? They must have caused a bit of trouble somehow.
Oh, my own, not even a filling.
What about your feet? They must ache a bit. You're a policeman.
Well, of course they do, but that's an occupational hazard. That doesn't count.
It's not something to start with. And your back?
Naturally, you get a bit of pain when you get to my age, standing around all the time, but...
Yes, and what about your head? Doesn't all these boys give you a headache?
Well, it's ringing a bit, of course. Yeah. You were supposed to make me feel better. I never felt so miserable in my life.
Good. Move close, Mother. Right. Hide my hand while I take my mitten off.
Yes.
There we are. Right, officer. Hold my hand.
You've got to be joking. It'd be more than my job was worth if I was caught while on duty holding hands with a bloke wearing a frock.
Persuasion's useless, George. Make a grab.
Right. Yeah. Gotcha.
Get off, Jeffrey. Ooh, that's fantastic. Oh, that's terrific. You're in.
Not so loud.
I'll open the gate. Off you go home. Oh, forgive me for doubting you. Saint George.
I am not a saint.
This is no time to argue, George. Let's just get inside.
Here, the Lord's going to come and all
women
do.
We've got just as much right, sir.
Yeah, let's go in as well.
Come on, everybody, get over the fence.
George, quick, open the door. There's got to be a riot. Well, my key's in the handbag Marcia lent me.
Where's the handbag?
Upstairs in the bedroom. I forgot it.
I knew there was something missing from that outfit. Well, call for the letterbox then.
Right. Marcia. Quick, it's going to be a riot.
You're not George. George has a key.
I left it in my handbag upstairs.
Anybody could say that. How do I know it's really you?
Marcia, you stop fooling around. This is serious. Look through the letterbox. Does this convince you?
What is it? Two
oranges, George. That's rude. Put them back immediately.
Oh, thank goodness for that. I thought I was never going to make it in one piece.
My heart. Marcia, my heart.
That's brandy. Oh. Come on. What about you, George? Anything?
That's no way to greet a husband who's just been nearly shredded by a mob.
Sorry, George, but I do find it incredibly hard to take your problem seriously when you're wearing that green vest. It's much too... George, where's the top hat and halo?
Damn. I must have left it at Dr. Eaton's.
The halo?
No, the hat.
You've never told me about any halo, George.
Well, it's only a small one, Mother. It's hardly worth mentioning.
It was a beautiful one. And it would have been an enormous help keeping the electric light bills down. What a pity it's gone.
Oh, don't worry, it hasn't gone. It's still there, I think. It doesn't show in its light. I suppose it's to do with the regulations about the saving of display lighting during daylight hours or something. No, dear, it's starting to sound a bit regressive out there, isn't it? Yeah, well, I reckon a quick cup of tea for me, brandy for Mum, whatever you're having, Marcia. Change my address, phone call to Charles and the Beeve, and then we'll all make a bolt for it. Good idea? Right. Can we come round and stay with you for a couple of days, Mother?
I don't really think my house is worthy enough, George. I mean, of course, it would be a great honour, but I
good,
don't
that
think...
settles. Will you organise the drinks, Marcia?
Right away.
Terrific. Sit down, Mum. I'll just make a phone call and we'll be out of here in no time. Just put the receiver back for a second and then... Oh, unbelievable. Get off the line.
Manners, George, manners. That's no way for a saint to talk.
Eaton here, Dr. Eaton. Stop being so aggressive, George. Make yourself even iller.
Sorry, it's been a hard day. Look, Harry, can I call you back? I really must make another call.
No, certainly not. This is the first time in my career I've ever called a patient instead of him calling me, and I expect you to treat the occasion with a reasonable sense of decorum and be aware of the obvious serious nature of the call.
Yeah, but you found something out?
Yes, I have. You're right. That stuff I took from you cures people.
I know that, Harry.
Yes, but I didn't, did I? And I do now, don't I? So that throws a different light on the whole case, doesn't it?
Yeah, but do you mean you know the cure?
Certainly not. That's the last thing we want to do, cure it.
What do you mean?
Don't you realize the implication, George? You are a walking gold mine. We're rich.
What are you talking about, Harry?
George, after you left me, I dabbed a drop out of one of the files onto the little finger of every patient, private and national, who walked through the door, and not one of them left needing a prescription.
Well, I could have told you that, Harry.
I put a drop each on my three ailing pot plants, and they've all grown at least 6 inches in the last 2 hours. The cat from next door jumped through the window, had a quick lick of the sample before I could stop him, and he is now rapidly becoming a kitten. Not to mention the fact that I've had 2 dabs of the stuff myself and feel at least 20 years younger. Medical science, and put our names into every newspaper in the country.
Harry, my name is already in every paper in the country. I'm trying to get it out.
George, this is no time to hide your light under a bushel and to hog the limelight. We'll share the fame together. I'm a humble man, George, and I've never craved fame. But this is so big, the mind boggles. You're a Fleming, Curie, Pasteur, and Albert Schweitzer all rolled into one. You're a 20th century panacea. Not only that, but you're non-denominational, and that can't be bad. George, I want to share this moment with you and look after your health.
Look, Harry, if you want to look after my health, stop doing party tricks with my blood and find out what's wrong with it.
I'm trying to explain to you there's nothing wrong with it. It's perfect for our purposes.
What purposes? What are you talking about?
Listen, George, listen carefully. Here's the plan. I'm going to call a special general meeting of my privates.
There must be another expression you can use, Harry.
I'll cure them all and then explain my scheme. We will finance, my privates and I, a clinic, guaranteeing a cure on the same day or no charge, backed up by a health and accident insurance scheme to finance the opening of other clinics all over the country and finally the world. It'll be a gold mine. We can't lose. I, of course, will look after the ethical and medical side. All you have to do, George, is to sit on some sun-kissed beach and provide a little blood occasionally. How does that strike you? The directors, of course, will expect some reasonable return, say 75%, but the other 25 will go straight to you, tax-free if you stay out of the country long enough. What do you say, George?
No.
Well, you're right. 75 is a bit high. Let's say 50-50?
No.
You drive a hard bargain for an atheist, George. 25 to us, 75 to you.
No.
I've got to be able to offer some profit, otherwise they won't come in. 10% for us, 90 for you.
No, nothing. No deal, no clinic, no nothing. I just want to be cured. Have you got that, Harry? Cured. I'm a sick atheist.
You are also selfish, egotistical, and self-centered. I've always known it. I no longer consider you as one of my favourite patients, George. You're struck off my list. and I shall personally report your unethical conduct to the British Medical Council. George, we're through. And furthermore, I'm going to throw your top hat in the dustbin. So there.
Randy, Mum, tea won't be a sec.
George. Oh, thank you, Marcia.
Who's on the phone?
Ellie.
Anything to report?
Yes, he's thrown my top hat in the dustbin.
Strange.
Hmm.
I really think he ought to see a doctor.
Yes, you could be right. Oh, damn, I forgot. I put the phone back on the hook again.
Would you like me to get it, dear?
No, thank you, Mother. It may be the Archbishop, and I don't want you having one of your turns.
Oh, I'll get it, George.
No, you get the tea. It's time we were off. They're sounding ominously close. Hello.
George? Charles.
Oh, Charles, I was just about to call you. Marcia said you'd run.
Well, very briefly, George, as I'm rather present, yes. You must be rather busy curing people and things.
Yes, quite.
Well, your next week's broadcast is off, I'm afraid, and you're indefinitely suspended from Godslot.
What?
Now, I've been told to offer a Desert Island Discs, and if you're
But why, Charles?
Well, Desert Island Discs calls for a certain type of...
No, I mean, why the cancellation and the suspension and stuff?
Well, briefly, as I'm rather present, you must be rather busy curing people and things. Well, it's felt, and this is coming from pretty high up, George. I'm not expressing my own view here. Now, briefly, it's felt that as the atheist point is used basically as a sounding board against which can rebound the more recent arguments of the clergy and priests, or, to put it another way, you're there as a bit of a giggle, because we all know you're wrong. Now, I'm not, of course, expressing my own views here, George.
Mm.
Or yet another way, you're the cowboy with the black hat, and they're the cowboy with the white hat, and they always win because they're the goodies and you're the baddie, if you see what I mean. But
yes,
now
but...
it appears you've gone and changed all that by somehow getting hold of a white hat.
Yes,
and it's considered by somebody pretty high up that you've somehow cheated, or to put it another way, have gained an unfair advantage, and therefore mustn't be allowed to use your advantage to the disadvantage of any clergy or priest that appear on the programme.
Yes,
now, I'm sure that you can see that it would be rather incongruous if you were there saying there ain't no God and doing all these miracles. Well, they're saying there is one and they can't do a thing.
Well,
so
of course.
It's considered all round to be better, and I'm not expressing my own view here, George, to be better if you did no more religious programmes till you've got this problem sorted out and a decent time tag has left so that people have time to forget and go back to giggling again.
Well,
you see what I mean? Now, I have laid it all out in a letter I sent you today, which also clarifies your contractual position. Anyway, I'm rather pressed, and I really must go, George, so I'll let you get back to your curing and things. Well, now, look forward to seeing you in the club soon. Very sorry about this, of course, but you do realise it's got nothing to do with me. Well, see you soon. Bye.
Bye. Bye, Charles. I'll leave it off the hook. Well, Mother, your son's just been sacked.
And a good thing, too. What a job for a grown man, scoffing at religion. You watch God doesn't get his own back by playing a joke on you one of these days. That would teach you. You just watch out.
Yeah. There's a thing to think about, all right. There's a thing to think about.
Cups of tea and chocolate biscuit. Would you like a cup as well, Mum?
Oh, no, thank you, dear. I'll just have another biscuit. I'm going off to Brookfields in a couple of weeks' time. Get away from Tom for a bit. So I'll soon sweat it off.
That was Charles on the phone. I've been evicted from Godslot. He offered me Desert Island Discs.
But why?
Apparently I'm the sort of person who picks good records.
No, religion. Oh. Why are you out?
I think they're afraid I'll set up in business by myself. Oh, thank you. That looks lovely.
But that's ridiculous. What on earth was that?
Well, I'll just have a look. The fence is gone. I think we're about to be overrun.
Open up, police.
Darling, quick. Two men outside in grey suits with bulges. Come and have a look. See if they're your friends from the Secret Service.
Open up in the name of the law.
Yes, that's them.
Right. I'm off at the back. See you this evening at Mother's.
Oh, but why not stay and meet them? They're charming.
Marcia, I'm not going to be turned into a man-mending machine on the battlefields of the world or into a diplomatic favour used for rejuvenating aged premiers and mouldy monarchs. I am going to confession looking for a cure.
Open up immediately or we'll break the door down.
Bye, Marcia. Bye, Mum. See you later. I'm off out the back to merge you. Oh, nearly forgot my oranges.
Bye. See you at Mother's. Left one's a bit low, George.
Whoops. Right.
Bye.
Bye.
Don't forget to make your father deaf again before you're cured.
Right on, boys.
Right. That looks like the last of the real confessors. Give it a couple of minutes. Make sure no one else turns up. Then in I pop. Wonder what he'll say. Never mind, I'll soon find out. If he doesn't laugh. No, he wouldn't. Well, that last one took a time, quarter of an hour, I reckon. Wonder what she's been up to. Well, it's no business of mine. She looked a nice girl as well.
Still, you can never tell these days. What a job. 2.5 hours he's been in there. I don't know what happens if he wants to... Well, no, I don't suppose he does. I mean, they have a lot of training for this job, don't they? Well, better make a move. Sooner I'm in, sooner I'm cured, and off to Mum's for a bit of supper. Say, I'm starving. Yes, I wish I'd had a sandwich with me. I'd eat it before I go in. Well, I haven't, so no such luck. Hang on. I'll have one of my oranges. Yes, the left one was the biggest. I'll have that. There we are, you little beauty. Peel. Lovely. That's done. Now, hide the skin under the pew. Give the verger something to think about. That's delicious. Yeah, well, better go in before he decides to call it a day. It's quite bright in here. Wonder what I do. That's a very low seat. I can't sit on that. Oh, I see. I suppose I kneel on it. Yes, right. There we are. Ow! Tender knees. Oh. Well, what now, I wonder? There's a little window. I wonder if I'm supposed to open it. No. Net cloth in front of it. I wonder if I should knock. I'll hang on and see. What's that noise? She's fallen asleep. No wonder she was in here a quarter of an hour. Do I have to wait till he wakes up? I can't do. I could be here all night. People would talk. They think I was a big sinner. I know. I'll have a bit of orange and think about it. Lovely. I'll cough. Shop?
Three Our Father, six Hail Marys, and don't do it again.
Pardon? Good evening.
Pardon?
Good evening. My name is...
I don't want to know your name. You should know better. Just get on with the prayer, my son.
Pardon?
The prayer. The confessional prayer. The prayer you start confessional with. Bless me, Father, etc.
Bless me, Father, etc. I'm sorry, I don't know that one.
But what sort of school did you go to that didn't teach you a simple basic thing like that? Are you a convert?
I'm an atheist, actually.
You're a what?
An atheist.
Well, what are you doing inside a Roman Catholic confessional? Get out, you heathen.
Well, it was my doctor's idea, actually.
Surely a man of medicine should know that even though being an atheist is a grave sin, you can't just walk in and have the sin wiped out just like that. I mean, you'd have to be a Roman Catholic atheist for that to be possible. That's a contradiction in terms, isn't it? What's that funny smell?
It's probably my orange.
Your orange? Surely you're not eating inside there.
Well, I'm sorry, but I haven't eaten all day and I was starving.
I am a bit peckish myself. You haven't got another one, have you?
Yes, I have, but...
That's all right. It only spoiled my supper. Well, now you're here, you might as well tell me what the problem... What's that light on your side of the perforations? You're not smoking in there as well, are you? That'd be going rather far even for an atheist.
No, I'm not. I thought it was a bit light in here myself. It must be my halo back again.
Your what?
My halo. I've got a little halo.
Oh, a little halo.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't by any chance be from Candid Camera, would you?
No, I'm not. Now, my name is George...
I don't tell me.
Right. I'm a small public figure and a convinced atheist, and recently I was struck down by stigmatism, and I now go around accidentally curing people.
Good Lord, you're George Thompson.
Right.
Don't tell me.
Sorry.
Go on.
And my doctor, well, that is my ex-doctor, suggested that as this is a churchy sort of problem, I should come along and have a chat with you, a priest, as I haven't got a vicar, in the privacy of the confessional, where you wouldn't be able to see I was wearing a dress.
You you're wearing a dress, George.
Yeah, well, I didn't mean to say that, actually.
It's funny, the papers didn't mention you wear dresses as well as being an atheist.
Well, I don't usually wear dresses.
A special occasion, is it?
No, I'm in disguise.
Go on, then. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, right. Well, it's fairly obvious that if there was someone up there, which, as an atheist, I know there isn't...
And as a priest, I know there is.
Exactly. If there was, he obviously either made a terrible mistake, or I've accidentally got in the way of something that was meant for someone else. A sort of religious road accident, if you see what I mean. With me being the victim, and some worthy old nun or monk or good Christian or something, has accidentally escaped unscathed. Which is pretty terrible for them, but disaster for me. And I think the idea really is that you now act as a sort of religious traffic policeman and sort the whole thing out, so I can go back to earning my living as a happy atheist. If you see what I mean.
There is a problem, George. No matter how much one would like to help, it's not that easy. I mean, you can't just ring up heaven and say, God, you've dropped a clanger. It doesn't work like that. Now, if you were a stigmatic Catholic, your claim would be severely tested, and case histories of alleged cures would be watched for years. But there's no precedent for someone finding they've got it, and feeling they've been unfairly got at, and then wanting to have a priest intercede on their behalf to have the stigmatism removed. Oh, one other thing while I'm at it. This halo of yours is beyond imagining. Stigmatism, though uncommon, is known, but stigmatism plus halo, to the best of my knowledge, is unheard of. I mean, winning the first five dividends on the pools 5 weeks in succession would be child's play compared with that. So you, obviously, are a pretty special case. Our job now is to find out why and how you came to be stigmatized, and work our way towards a solution from there. Now, if I'm going to be able to help at all, I'm going to have to know a lot more about you, and ask some pretty personal questions. So all I ask, really, is that you answer honestly, even though it may be a bit embarrassing, and keep nothing back from me. All right?
Right.
Well, let's make a start by you making your first confession, as if you were a Catholic coming in to have your soul cleaned up before a Sunday. Right?
Right.
Now, just tell me all the things you've done that you know were wrong in the last week.
Well, it's a bit of a problem, really.
Have no fear, my son. This conversation is sacrosanct. I mean, there's no risk of you waking up on Sunday morning and seeing your confession splashed all over the front page of the Catholic Herald. So be frank. Tell me what you've done wrong.
Well, to be honest, I haven't done anything much wrong in the last week. In fact, by my terms, I haven't done anything wrong at all. I've said damn twice, but I've always considered that a pretty watery word in any case. But apart from that...
Well, of course, I suppose that's to be expected. You've been a bit conscious of being good for the last week, haven't you? You were on retreat, weren't you? And then the stigmatism thing must have been a bit of a wet blanket. Made you think a bit. All right. What have you done wrong by your terms in the last month?
Well, even there I can't honestly say that I've done anything wrong. I lead a very quiet life.
Now, you've got to be honest with me, otherwise there's no point to the whole exercise.
Honestly, I'm being honest. I can't think of anything in the last week or the last month.
All right. We'll broaden it a bit more. The last year. What have you done that you know is wrong in the last year?
Well, even there... Oh, yes. I did tell Marcia, that's my wife, at Christmas last year, that I liked a dress she'd bought when I didn't. What I actually said was that I liked the dress but didn't like the colour, which was roughly the truth.
What colour was it?
Green.
I see. Well, what have you done wrong since you were 30?
Nothing, I'm afraid.
Surely you must have done something.
Sorry.
21.
I'm sorry, nothing.
Let's start again.
Good idea.
Now, this time I'll give you little hints.
Right.
Now, I'll obviously leave out the Catholic ones, not going to Mass and things like that. And we'd slowly work our way up towards the biggies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you swear much?
Never. Well, apart from damn, that is. It's always struck me as being a bit colourless, if you know what I mean.
Well, how about drinking? I've watched you a couple of times on telly when I wanted to have my belief strengthened and a bit of a giggle. And you were always going at the carafe. Vodka, was it?
Water, I'm afraid. I don't touch alcohol. I have a lemonade occasionally. Mounds of cups of tea, though. I don't suppose that counts, though, does it?
Afraid not. How about lechery? Do you lust after loose women?
Certainly not. I'm a happily married man.
Keep your temper. I'm trying to help.
Oh, sorry.
How many women have there been in your life?
One.
Your wife?
Yeah.
You were married, I suppose, before you...
Of course.
Do you eat more than is good for you?
Always just enough.
Are you slothful?
Pardon?
You spend a lot of time in bed.
No, up at the lark. I've always been an early riser.
Are you envious of other people's success?
Never really thought about it. We do quite nicely ourselves.
Do you crave worldly possessions? Avaricious?
Nope. Enough for our needs is enough.
Do you? Oh, what's the point? I know what the answer to every question is going to be. George, the answer to why you've been stigmatized is very simple. Even a child could see it.
Well, I can't. What's the answer?
You have accidentally led the life of a saint. And this is your just reward.
Oh, but that's ridiculous. There's loads of people no worse or no better than me, and they don't go around dripping into their socks and staining their shirts. Why have I been picked on? I mean, I don't even allow for the possibility of there being someone up there with the capacity to dish out such backhanded rewards.
There's no necessity for you to believe it, for it to happen to you. I mean, in the days when Britain ruled the waves and had little wars all over the place, if some happy native performed a feat of heroism on the field of battle in some far-flung bit of the empire, he got his Victoria Cross, whether he believed Victoria actually existed or not.
Yes, but at least he'd have the satisfaction of being able to send it back and say, look here, no matter what people say, no matter what goodies you send me, I still don't believe you're for real. So take back your VC, Mrs. Queen. You're a figment of other people's imagination. Wouldn't he?
They were mostly given posthumously. Presumably, now I think about it, to take care of that eventuality. Anyway, if it's any consolation, you will at least get the chance to argue your case after you're dead, when you go up to heaven and face him.
I'm not going up to heaven or anywhere else when I'm dead. I'm an atheist, and I demand to be left alone to rest in peace, without being haunted by other people's mistaken beliefs. I do not believe in God.
If you're going to go on like this, we'd be here all night. I thought you came here for a cure.
You mean you might know the answer? You may have a cure?
Of course I have. It's simple. Two options as well.
Well, tell me.
Right, first option. Pack up being an atheist and join a religion. It doesn't really make any odds which one you pick. Whether you're a proddy dog or Wesley or a Mick, makes no difference. The cures are still virtually guaranteed. But we Roman Catholics are rather better than most at cancelling out saints. We got rid of dozens a few years back. So you could join us and perhaps get rid of your problem quicker.
I don't see how joining a religion can possibly help. I mean, if I become religious on top of everything else, I'll end up levitating. How can catching religion possibly provide a cure?
Simple. At the moment, you live by your own sweet rules. Goodness and non-indulgence, plus the conventions that society's laid on you since childhood. And that's all. You can't fail to become a saint. But you join us, and you've got nearly 2,000 years of conventions and rules concerning the conduct of your daily life and preservation of your soul to live by. You couldn't help but do wrong. The day-to-day life of a Roman Catholic is a minefield of sin. You only need a couple of small explosions to blast your stigmata away forever. I mean, I have 70-year-old nuns who can hardly walk. Walk in here with more sins in 1 week by their convictions than you've got in the last 20 years by yours. Their souls are driving through London, trying desperately to keep to the traffic regulations and escape convictions, a virtual impossibility. While your soul is driving the only car in Sark allowed on the road with hardly any restrictions at all and no chance of convictions, because you're also the island's only policeman. Do you see what I mean? Join us, or any religion come to that, and you can't help fail to keep the rules and thereby lose the mark of goodness.
No, I'm sorry, I couldn't do that. I'd be living a lie. I mean, I'm an atheist, and I always will be.
Look at him. A saint to the last. He can't live a lie to be able to live at peace. God bless you, my son. You are the very first Christian non-Christian, if you see what I mean.
You said there were two options.
Right, there are. I'll just check the course clear before I tell you. No one there could. Now listen, here's the second option. But don't tell anyone I told you, all right?
Right. What is it?
Well, I could never suggest this to a Catholic, but as you're a heathen, it doesn't count. All you've got to do is to leave here and go off and be really bad.
What do you mean? Pinch a bottle of milk off someone's doorstep or something?
No. Really, really bad. Drink. Swear. Lie. Fornicate. That sort of thing.
Never do that sort of thing. It's against my nature.
Exactly. It's your nature you're fighting against. Stop acting like a saint, George, or you're in great danger of becoming one. the first atheist saint. What an embarrassment. Go off and be cured. You know how. Now, for your penance, I'd like you to say... Oh, I can't give you a penance, can I? Well, never mind. It's been very nice meeting you. Go off and be really bad, and everything should work out fine, my son.
Marcia, will you please stop pacing up and down and pay attention? The news will be on in a second.
How can I pay attention when I'm this worried? Why isn't George back? It's nearly 11 o'clock. He never stays out this late.
You won't get him back by wearing our carpet out. He'll be all right.
Oh.
Come and sit down, Marcia.
Perhaps he had a lot to confess and then went off to church to repent his evil ways.
No chance. I bet he's been kidnapped by some foreign power, locked up in an embassy somewhere, tied and gagged, waiting to be whipped out of the country on the first available flight.
More likely those nice Secret Service men caught up with him and took him into custody for his own protection.
Will you both stop this constant talking? I'm trying to watch television.
And will you kindly give your daughter-in-law the common courtesy of a bit of attention? She's very worried.
Oh, that's all right, Dad. You watch telly.
I'll have to now because Mary's hinted I shouldn't.
It's news time. Quick, switch it over.
Right. Marcia, switch the light off.
Okay.
Authorities are believed to be seriously considering martial law in the area, where an estimated crowd of more than 250,000 people are at this moment holding a candlelit procession through the surrounding streets.
Wow.
God. All police leave has been cancelled, and all off-duty policemen are requested to report for duty at their local stations.
Well,
we've also been asked to broadcast a request that no other members of the general public go into the area.
Well, that's good.
Loudspeaker vans are at this moment trying with little success to go through the street, asking the crowd to disperse. This evening, two houses in the area, which had been set on fire after candle stubs had been carelessly dropped, were gutted when fire engines were unable to get through the crash to attend the blaze.
It's
believed that the crews of the fire engine have since joined the procession. The whereabouts of George Thompson himself continues to be something of a mystery. First, it was thought he'd been taken into protective custody, but this hasn't so far been confirmed.
Oh, I was wrong, then.
The only thing that is certain is that he's no longer at his former home, which, after police failed to hold the crowd this afternoon, was invaded by over 2,000 souvenir hunting followers.
Oh, my Lord.
The house has since been declared a structure liable to collapse.
Goodness me,
did you? An interesting sidelight on the whole George Thompson affair was thrown this afternoon when a doctor, who later declared himself to be a potential business partner of Mr. Thompson, in 1 hour managed to cure over 1,500 patients in the oldest hospital in London, using a small phial of plasma allegedly supplied by Mr. Thompson.
That's Harry.
The hospital is now completely empty of patients for the first time since the 14th century. Mm. And the doctor is helping the police with their inquiries.
That's amazing. Mm. It's George. Turn down the telly.
Don't go straight to the door. Check from the window first.
Is it him?
Is he by himself?
Yes.
Oh, open the door. Quick, before anybody sees him.
Right.
Oh, I'm so excited. A saint in my house.
Oh, quiet.
You are insufferable.
George, never mind me.
George, your face.
I haven't got a say.
Oh, George, it's so good to see you. I thought you'd been kidnapped.
No, I kept to the back streets to hide my halo.
He's still as bright as ever, George. No cure.
Afraid not. Well, the solution's easy. It's the application that's difficult. I have a confession to make, Marcia. For the first time in my life, I've been out chasing loose women.
Well, I doubt whether you caught any. It's not easy running in a tight dress.
Well, these weren't the sort of women who run away.
George, what do you mean?
Well, briefly, the answer to my problem was to go off and be bad, according to the priest. You know, lie, steal, swear, something like that.
Any sort of priest?
No, he was very helpful, actually. They're nice bloke. But now, as I know that all those options can be pretty nasty, or make me sick or end up in jail, something like that, I thought I'd have a go for the one I've heard can be quite nice. That's fornication.
What's that?
Having it away.
Sure. What a terrible expression.
I've heard worse ways of putting it tonight. It's been a long evening.
So, how did you enjoy fornication?
I didn't. I visited 6 models, one after the other, in quick succession.
I thought you were supposed to be finding a cure, not breaking records.
And each time, exactly the same thing happened. They were startled at my appearance, asked a high price because of my obvious kink. We haggled a bit, agreed the price, shook hands on the deal, and they were cured. No longer were their ladies available for hire. They all cried, said, "What a wicked life I've led," and went home to their mums. Well, I gave up at the 6th one and came home to my mum's.
Oh, I'm ever so pleased.
Oh, so am I.
Oh.
Right. Let's go and part the competence, shall we?
Right.
Furthermore, your conversation is banal.
Only because I've only had myself to talk to all these years. Anyway, I never found my conversation boring. It's only since
you've been here. Hello, you two. How about breaking off for a minute and greeting your guests?
Oh, George. Oh, George, it's an honor to have you.
Hello, George.
Oh,
Oh, my God. Mary, do you realise our son's wearing a dress?
Oh, don't worry, Dad. It's his disguise.
Well, what's he wearing that ridiculous neon donut on his head for? I mean, if he's supposed to be in disguise, that's a sure way to attract attention.
It's my halo, Dad. Do you like it?
Oh, George, how wonderful. You haven't been cured. Make your father deaf again.
Don't you dare.
I wouldn't dream of it.
Good. Look, can you put something over your head, George? You're ruining the picture on television.
Yeah, well, I'll put the empty football over it. How's that?
Oh, perfect.
Come and sit next to me, George, and tell me about your day. Oh, you look rather deflated.
It's only because I ate my oranges, Mum.
Do you want a cup of tea, darling?
No, in a minute. I'll just have a look at you all first.
Turn the television off, Ted. Show some respect.
Look, let's just watch the last of the epilogue. You get more laughs than even George gives us when he's on telly. Go on, turn up the sound.
Oh, turn it off. What do you want television vicars for? We've got a saint in our living room.
Oh, don't keep calling George a saint. Mummy's got enough problems.
You can't be a saint until you're dead in any case, can you?
Hang on. This could be important.
And take this one big truth, the common denominator of all religions, no matter what name, different beliefs and different religions may apply. The belief in a supreme being. Take this one big truth and speak it loudly. I believe. Oh. Good night.
Eureka! Cut it off quick, Dad. Oh, it's so simple. Yippee!
I know the cure.
George, get controlling yourself. This is a quiet residential area. I don't want a quarter of a million people on my front floor. Now put the light on, dear.
Calm down, George. What is it?
Oh, don't you see it's so easy? Hey, two men at the front door. Are we expecting anybody?
Let me have a look. Oh, those nice secret service men are here, and my hair's in a terrible mess.
What do you mean, easy?
Well, what's the opposite to one big truth?
One big lie?
Exactly. And for me, the biggest lie of all.
I don't understand.
You will. Help me off with this food bowl. Dad, put the light out again.
Right.
Should I let the Secret Service man in, George? It's very rude to keep them waiting.
This won't take a minute. Now, halo shining bright. Everyone paying attention?
Yes.
Yes, but look, come on, George. Your halo's good for a quick party trick, but it gets boring.
I, George Thompson, hereby declare I believe. I am no longer an atheist.
Oh, how marvellous. You've come to your senses.
George, it flickered. Oh, do it again, louder.
I don't get it at all.
I, George Thompson, with all my heart and soul, believe there is a creator in heaven.
It's wavering, George. It's wavering. Keep going.
Oh, don't do anything, silly son. You make a lovely saint.
What's going on, George? You're starting to look like a lighthouse.
One last big effort, George.
Don't do it, son. Now, don't do it.
I, George Thompson, ex-atheist and accidental saint, hereby declare I believe in God.
Who switched the light on?
Me! It worked!
Oh, no. I'm saved! The big lie worked!
Oh, no.
I'm saved!
Oh, no.
Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah!
In What's Stigmata, Peter Jeffrey played George and Norma Ronald, Marcia. Mr. and Mrs. Thompson were played by George A. Cooper and Anne Jameson. The Doctor, Murray Watson, the Policeman, Jeffrey Siegel, the Priest, Sean Barrett, the TV Vicar and the Retreat Organiser, James Thomason, the Masseurs, Valerie Murray, the BBC Man, Clifford Norgate, the Woman at the Health Farm, Joanna Wake, and the TV Announcer, Piers Burton Page. What's Stigmata was written by Wally K. Daly and produced and directed by Martin Jenkins.